Hello, and welcome to the Facility Executive Podcast, where we discuss the latest trends and strategies in facility design, operation, and maintenance. I'm your host, Jennifer Goetz, the Editorial Director of Facility Executive, and today I'm joined by Adhijesh Sood, the Global Policy and Partnerships Director for Sustainable Building Technologies for Honeywell. Today we will be discussing all things sustainability. So to get started, how would you define what a sustainable building is in 2022? Would you say a sustainable building is a healthy building?
Yeah, first of all, thank you for having me. And I'm really glad that we're kicking off with this extremely important question. I think these things work in tandem. And when I say these things, we know that, you know, during the pandemic, the healthy buildings narrative was really heavy. We understood that it was extremely important to make sure that our workplaces slash facilities slash buildings, you know, were atmospheres or were environments where people could thrive, where people could be healthy, and we could avoid disease transmission. But slowly and gradually, we saw that while the concentration was really heavy on, for example, air quality, healthy building became a all-encompassing term for a better indoor environmental quality. You know, people started looking at different parameters apart from air quality to lighting, to thermal comfort, et cetera, et cetera. And now we've seen that evolve into, you know, what we term as sustainability today or sustainable buildings today, wherein people are being also mindful of, you know, how do we preserve the important resources that a building has? How are we making sure that carbon emissions of a particular building are being reduced and recorded? How are we reporting back carbon emissions and also creating a green building for that matter? So I think the narrative has evolved over the last 2.5 years. We've made sure that we've come a long way, you know, as responsible technology organizations or responsible building owners, and have kind of created this hand-in-hand concept of a healthy building and a sustainable building is no different. In fact, one is a subset of the other, or one is the universal set for the other. I think right from 2021 to 2022, that narrative has picked up. There has been immense amount of focus on not only looking at bringing people back into offices, return to workplace, and also making sure that we provide better environments, like I said, but also people have started concentrating on how do I make my building even more efficient, right? There is no secret to the thing that human health and planetary health go hand in hand. We've heard multiple people talk about how global warming, how, you know, emissions from a particular building affect how we see our future. I think this podcast is probably at an important juncture where COP27 is happening in Egypt, and we're discussing the exact same thing. We're looking at how the world is getting warmer by 1.5 degrees and how far we are from achieving sort of a state wherein we will have a better future for generations to come. So I think coming back to the point of healthy and sustainable buildings, both of them work hand in hand, both of them work in concert, both of them work in tandem. It's extremely important for us to understand that we literally need to say it in the same breath rather than keeping them as separate concepts or narratives. If we implement one, then the other one should get implemented automatically. I think that would be my definition of a sustainable building in 2022.
It's very interesting. Now, you talked about facility management a little. Facility managers have a lot on their plates. They're tackling supply chain issues, navigating the landscape of hybrid and remote work, coping with the fact that they have long-time employees leaving the workforce. Would you mind elaborating more on why facility managers should be creating sustainable buildings and why this should be one of their main priorities?
So I think you've asked me a question where the answer lies within the question. So I would say all of the above are really important reasons for creating sustainable buildings. Now, you spoke about tackling supply chain issues. You're speaking about return to workplace. We are obviously coping with the fact of, you know, long-term employees, for example, retiring, et cetera, et cetera. You know, even if we looked at these things separately, sustainability is a narrative or is a point that you would easily recognize in each one of those. Sustainable supply chains are extremely important. That's what looks at embodied carbon. That's what looks at scope 3 emissions. And hence, it becomes extremely important for facility managers to look at how to make their supply chains more sustainable, how to make sure that there are no material shortages, how to make sure that, you know, facilities are running with material that is available or required to maintain them, how they would concentrate on making sure that their suppliers are actually following sustainable practices and best practices which are good for the environment and hence also reduce emissions on their side when they record their scope 3 emissions. So I think that's an important one. Navigating, you know, hybrid slash remote work or return to the workplace again becomes an answer in itself. If you created a healthy building, if you created a sustainable building like we spoke about in the earlier question, then that would become easier. Reversing the question, if I had to ask somebody as to would they go back to an office that smelled bad or didn't have appropriate lighting or didn't have, you know, air quality which would give them a headache, for example, then would a person go back to office? No. And people have started recognizing that the workforce is not immune to the kind of things that I just spoke about. Earlier it was, hey, I have a headache. But now if you speak to somebody, people can actually point it out and say, maybe the air quality in this particular office isn't good enough and hence I have an headache, right? So it's that evolution that people have gone through wherein it becomes important for facility managers to concentrate on solving those issues for bringing people back. People are retiring, so which basically means the amount of skill that you had present in a particular organization's fading away. But that doesn't mean that, you know, new blood can't fill in those positions slash, you know, not be attracted to offices. So creating a sustainable building or a healthy office even becomes an even more strong imperative, I would say, wherein workplaces need to be more attractive to people. We remember, without naming various organizations, we've read various articles wherein offices are welcoming. You know, there was this advent of pet-friendly offices, for example, and people started feeling good while they were going to work. There were places to nap in offices. These are things that are not tangible or not spoken about, etc., or are not probably related directly to a sustainable building. But that's the kind of feeling that you get, you know, when a workplace is welcoming. Now, when you have technology at hand, which can look at solving these problems on its own for facility managers. You know, if you have sophisticated software that reports back when something is going to go out of order and hence maintenance needs to be on time, or facility managers can look at how indoor environmental quality needs to be set from a software platform, then it becomes easier for them to create sustainable slash healthy buildings. So while there's a lot going on, I think there's a lot of tools available for facility managers, a lot of technology available for facility managers at the moment, wherein they can create sustainable and healthy buildings. And I think it has to be one of their main priorities, you know, considering the kind of thing that we're recovering from at the moment and the global indicators that are plaguing us right now.
Absolutely. And I'm hearing more and more that it really does help employers attract employees to their office buildings or to their organizations. Now, I know you've touched on air quality and how much that plays a role in how employees react to an environment in a building. I would love if you could elaborate more on how being a sustainable building helps to enhance employee productivity and engagement.
Just employee productivity and engagement.
Right. So this nicely touches upon, you know, the earlier question that we had, and we alluded to some of this, of employee experience, of employee engagement, of productivity, of people retiring, etc. But, you know, think of it like a dinner with a view or a meal with a view slash working from a cafe that has, you know, nice plants and trees inside the cafe. And you've got these concept of beautiful green walls nowadays. You know, biophilia is becoming more and more important and people appeal to that, right? So it's like, I want to be in an atmosphere where I feel nice. Now that feeling slash that emotion is driven by multiple parameters. That's the air that I'm breathing. That's how cold or hot I am. That's dependent on, you know, how the locale is. Like I said, meal with a view. If you're sitting next to a river and eating fish, then that probably has a better experience than you being in a closed room and eating fish. Now, the whole taste of things, the whole idea of enjoying while you're doing something is what occupant experience is all about, I would say, or is what workplace experience is all about. And it's actually surprising and quite refreshing to see that people are taking that as consideration when they're joining new organizations. They want to make sure that they're taken care of. I often refer to, you know, the occupant survey that Honeywell conducted twice now. I think one of them was in 2020 and then another one in 2022, wherein we found out that there were multiple stakeholders who came back as high as a 72% who said, you know, they really wanted their workplace to be healthy. And that goes for, you know, people who want to be attracted to different workplaces as well. We want to make sure that the indoor environment is nice, the office is inviting, the lighting is immaculate. There is some sort of touchless experience that you get when you get to the office. You know, for example, there are systems that you can implement where a system would literally guide you right from the car parking to your desk. Now imagine that versus, you know, your first day at work, you're struggling to make sure that you have a badge, you're going through multiple levels of security, you're making sure that you know the facility pretty well, and you know, convert that to a technology-enabled office or a sustainable space, as we like to call it, wherein an employee has minimal disruption in carrying out these basic activities. That's how sustainable spaces increase productivity and engagement, right? This is what brings people back to an office and say, yes, this is a space where I can get a lot done while I spend my time at office. Now, compare that to a dimly lit office where you don't want to sit down and you probably take 5 hours to finish what you could have done in two, then that's a whole different story. So I think, one, that emotion, that feeling, that belongingness to a place and that experience that you get from a particular building or a facility is important. That really enhances employee productivity. Also, the fact that if you're taking care of your employees in terms of the environment that you're providing, then they obviously fall sick lesser. They are more engaged and happier at work. They feel comfortable at work, and that increases engagement. Also, from a sustainability standpoint, I think there's recognition that buildings are receiving nowadays with frameworks like LEED or with frameworks like WELL. These are standards and frameworks which are available for, you know, for building owners and tenants and different sets of stakeholders to achieve. This is also social recognition, right? A lot of people didn't speak about this earlier. A lot of people didn't know what these standards are. But now with the increase of knowledge and with plaques and different insignia that you see in various offices being available, employees can also actually say, we understand that this office is LEED certified. Now, they might not know what goes into getting a LEED certification, but this is something that they realize that is also present in a particular office. So it's also that social recognition along with providing a better environment that also leads to creating a sustainable space, you know, pushing or increasing employee productivity and engagement, I believe.
Perfect. One other thing I really wanted to ask you about is there are so many different kinds of facilities with so many different needs to be healthy and sustainable. So a warehouse might have a very different approach naturally to sustainability than, say, a school or a hospital. I would love for you to describe what are some things that a facility manager can do to kind of first start to learn about how they can tackle sustainability initiatives for their specific needs.
So again, no building is same, like you just said. No kind of building is same. A hospital is extremely different from a warehouse versus a school versus even a university. Even if I was to compare a university and a K-12 school in the same sector even. So I think the size of a building, the atmosphere of a building, the kind of weather that the building resides in, the area that there is, how many trees are planted across the area in which the building is. There's so much that can affect the operation of a particular building. A facility manager to understand how to tackle sustainability initiatives, I think, is probably a step ahead of what a facility manager needs to do. As for starters, he needs to assess as to how the building is operating, right? Sustainability initiatives entail reducing carbon footprint and also lowering energy consumption, making sure that recycling programs are in place, you know, wastewater harvesting is in place. There's a lot that you can do with respect to sustainability. It's a really broad term. But until and unless you know how your building is doing, until and unless you've assessed a baseline, until and unless you've established what needs to improve, it's going to be extremely difficult for a facility manager to start anywhere. If a facility manager doesn't understand the importance of how indoor health has to be improved in a particular building, he or she is never going to look at how and what to implement to increase that health. If a facility manager does not realize the wastage that a building is implementing at any point in time or is throwing out at any point in time, then a facility manager will never concentrate on how to reduce that. Energy consumption, again, is a whole beast in itself, a whole different beast, wherein a facility manager, if he doesn't know where to concentrate on to optimize energy performance, then that will never happen again. So I think assessing a particular building to begin with is extremely important. Once you've assessed and once you've measured what you want to manage, you can then start looking at what is available in the industry, what is available in the market space, what is available as knowledge within the organization's group to improve the things that you've realized when you assessed your building or when you established a baseline. You'll have to work from the bottom up. You'll have to make sure that you know exactly what's happening and then kind of start answering specific needs around indoor environmental quality, around safety and security, around sustainability, around energy consumption, you know, around reducing carbon footprint. So like I said, carbon footprint is not something which is not spoken about anymore. It's probably one of the most important narratives at this point in time. But that will only happen once you know exactly what you're dealing with. And then you can start looking at, you know, what kind of unique building or what kind of building, what kind of needs your building has to become healthy and sustainable, dependent on, you know, various parameters that we spoke about earlier.
I've spoken with facility managers that a lot of their main focus when it comes to sustainability really is tied into their bottom line. So energy efficiency, I know, is huge because they can see a real difference in their bottom line. And I've spoken to some people who, while greenhouse gas emissions are important, it might not be something they've really tackled yet because it's not so top of mind. Would you mind kind of elaborating, like, why do you think carbon footprint isn't as talked about as much anymore?
So I would say the other way around. I think carbon footprint is something that people are talking about left, right, center at the moment. As the sustainability narrative evolves, as we've been speaking about throughout this conversation, I think greenhouse gas emissions and carbon footprint is going to become or has already become one of the most important factors that a building must address in today's world. Now, even statistically, buildings are the largest producer of greenhouse gas emissions across the world, irrespective of age, irrespective of, you know, what kind of system you have, greenhouse gas emissions are maximum from building systems, for example. So there is, I wouldn't call it a low-hanging fruit, but at the same time, we know where the problem lies. Sure, fossil fuels, coal, et cetera, are equal contributors. But, you know, if you can fix certain aspects of a particular building, for example, looking at converting your halogen lighting inside a building to LED lighting, concentrating on how old your HVAC systems are and kind of fine-tuning that to make sure that they, you know, reduce greenhouse gas emissions, or look at carbon footprint measurement in itself, right? There is, we spoke about how facility managers need to assess and how they can tackle their sustainability initiatives. I think measurement or constant commissioning or continuous commissioning is extremely important. What that means is if you can see on a software platform as to how your carbon emissions are behaving, what kind of utilities are you using, what's the different energy sources that you have, then that kind of becomes, you know, handy information for you. You know exactly where you're going with it. And I think carbon footprint is an important piece that you must monitor at a regular basis with frameworks like TCFD, with frameworks like, you know, what is being implemented as part of various policy initiatives across the globe. We've seen for the United States, for example, the Inflation Reduction Act just came out, which has carbon emissions and reduction written all over it. There's so much happening in Europe with the EU Green Deal, the, you know, the renovation wave with RRF capture. There is so much happening with respect to carbon footprint at the moment. People are becoming smarter. Buildings are becoming smarter. People are looking at measuring carbon emissions and how to fix them and optimize systems to kind of report these back. So I think it's only going to increase. And I think it's for the global good that it increases, because unless we start concentrating on these things and unless we start looking at reducing the largest carbon footprint of the world, which is buildings, like I said, I think we're obviously looking at a much larger problem than just water shortage or, you know, air pollution that increases on a regular basis. So I think it's the reverse. Carbon footprint is in conversation right now to a large extent, but it could become even heavier, you know, with the advent of stuff like ESG reporting and a lot of climate disclosures going forward.
Absolutely. One of the other things I really wanted to ask you about is, just in your experience, what are some examples of an overall positive impact a building and its occupants have had as a result of implementing different sustainability initiatives?
So I'll try and stay general here so that, you know, I don't kind of concentrate on a particular building. You know, there are multiple things that you can implement, and I've seen it with my own eyes. For example, at various Honeywell facilities, if I had to be particular, there is, you know, sustainability initiatives which are being implemented with n number of our customers, a lot of our own facilities, a lot of facilities that you read about in the news, for example. Now, they could be as small as implementing just healthy buildings and making sure that the environment is improved, or they could go to the extent of improving everything under the roof for sustainability. So measure carbon emissions, monitor carbon emissions, look at energy performance improvement, look at various sources of renewable energy to be implemented, look at battery energy storage systems, look at how to make sure that employees feel really welcome, for example. And that's not free lunch in a cafeteria, by the way, but you're just making sure that all the environmental quality parameters are taken care of. So I think there are various sustainable initiatives that have been put in place where occupants have felt that a particular building is worth inhabiting, and also, you know, workplaces have become more inviting. The variety, and for the lack of, you know, not making it redundant, the variety varies from location to location, from place to place, from building to building. If you go to an airport right now, you would see that a lot of airports are concentrating on bringing natural light in, right? That's something that I've seen in modern design for airports everywhere across the globe. That's so refreshing, you know, being inside an airport, sometimes taking long haul flights. If you get some natural light, you feel really nice and you feel that very reinvigorating for you. It's like being inside, you know, a much better atmosphere than you would realize as you were at an airport terminal. A lot of these airports have now green biophilic facilities inside. So again, that appeals to the senses and it makes a lot of sense for people to feel as if they're in natural habitats. You could look at premium commercial offices nowadays who are concentrating on making sure that they have fresh air or there's appropriate ventilation, for example, for employees to make sure, for employees to have better air quality. If you look at industrial warehouses, you know, they're concentrating on how to reduce heat, for example, in environments where people are working. So have more air conditioning, have proper air quality again, make sure that thermal comfort is answered properly. There are places which receive a lot of rainfall. People are looking at wastewater management or harvesting of that particular water. That is again that we've seen with some facilities which are industrial. So there's, I think, a lot happening with various different kinds of facilities. There's a lot happening in various geographies. But not to be specific, I think it obviously needs to fit into a particular framework. It needs to be a sort of an initiative that stretches across the ethos of sustainability and healthy buildings.
Great. I have one final question I want to ask you. What do you think is something that really should be top of mind for facility managers right now? Because sustainability in general is such a broad topic. There's so many different avenues and areas to really focus on. So I'm kind of curious, just on top of what you think really should be top of mind for different facility managers right now, but just in addition, what you really think is the most important thing to be focused on right now?
So first off, I think facility managers have had a really tough time for the last 2.5 years, right? I really empathize with facility management executives across the globe because they were faced with times that they had not seen in this century so far. You know, a pandemic is in itself a massive toll on how buildings should operate, especially when there's nobody inside those buildings. You still had to make sure that all the systems were running properly. You had to maintain them. You had to make sure that when people would come back eventually, without even knowing when people would come back, you had to make sure that these buildings were operational and functional. Then there were, you know, different directives around not being able to use recirculated air and always having 100% fresh air inside a particular building. So obviously, facility managers had had to deal with questions like, sure, I want to provide better indoor air quality to my occupants, but then that also increases my energy bill in double digits. Facility managers also obviously were having a tough time of looking at empty spaces, lights switched off for various floors, you know, people not visiting offices. And if you're a facility manager who's deeply connected to a particular building, then that creates a whole different emotion in your mind. It's almost like the space that you see on a regular basis, hustle and bustle with activity, with the kind of people that you see every day, is completely blank or empty for the next 2 years. That's scary. That's really difficult. So I really empathize with all the facility management executives across the globe. But I think what should be top of mind right now is that time is gone, right? We need to make sure that we are always prepared for not per se a pandemic, but we always need to make sure that the building is most efficiently operated. Not saying that this wasn't on the top of mind of facility management executives in the past, but I think technology has evolved pretty quickly. We had that window for the last 2.5 years where a lot of organizations, a lot of technology giants, including the likes of Honeywell, were able to come up with solutions which were really important to keep buildings operational efficiently and effectively, I would say, over a period of time. It meant that there was this need which got fulfilled in the last 2.5 years of, let's say, things running on artificial intelligence, self-learning buildings, smart buildings. So I think what facility managers need to look at is that evolution. They need to run with time. They need to make sure that whatever has evolved in technology needs to be implemented in buildings, needs to be kind of have state-of-art buildings that they are managing. They need to start looking at not just solving a particular problem, but look at larger narratives of sustainability, look at larger narratives of healthy buildings, look at larger narratives of smart buildings, see how their systems can talk to each other and work in concert rather than being singular systems. You know, singular systems will only deliver so much efficiency and will have to be monitored separately, will have to be maintained separately. If you've got a system that helps you make things connected, you know, it helps you make things work in concert, then go for it. Look at reducing your workload. Look at, concentrate on the more important things, like I said, you know, increasing occupant productivity. So get that kind of mental connection going between how a building should be operated. I was at a conference a little while earlier and I got asked a question where, what should buildings talk about? Right? That was a very peculiar question to answer, but I think such an important one in today's context, right? The buildings should be able to talk. They should be able to tell you what's happening inside them. Facility managers shouldn't have to go hunting. Facility engineers shouldn't have to go hunting for what could go wrong with a particular building. I think that's what should be on top of mind. It's easier said than done, of course. But at the same time, you know, we also know that buildings have a really profound effect on friends who are inside them. You know, commercial buildings account for 37% of global energy consumption. 30% of that is wasted. Buildings have a profound effect of people who inhabit them. So commercial buildings currently account for about 37% of global energy consumption. 30% of that energy is wasted. Facility managers could look at that particular energy consumption, look at that kind of wastage that they're experiencing and start concentrating on how that can be improved. And then listen to that building. Like I said, you know, what are buildings saying? What's going wrong that needs to be fixed almost immediately? That would be my takeaway.
Great. Adishash, it has been a pleasure speaking with you. And thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course, thank you to our audience for listening and to Honeywell for sponsoring this podcast. Stay tuned for the next episode of the Facility Executive Podcast.